Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you are joining us as we'll be concluding our year in review with our good friend Tom Donnan. Now, if you missed any part of the prior episode, you need to go back and catch up. But Tom comes on about every month or so just to catch us up on current events in the news that relate to Bible prophecy. I mean, his insight, his spiritual insight is so spot on. And we've been covering things that we've talked about during this past year, but we're also talking about things that impact us going forward. Amen. Now, if you missed any yesterday or the prior episode, go back and catch up. But right now, we're going to start talking about the economy and things that have happened in the United States and around the world, for that matter, this past year as we conclude this year in Bible prophecy and current events with Tom Donnan. Let's jump back into the interview now. I've begun to hear the rumor control because of the huge debt the United States is. I mean, we just like tripled our debt in the last 18 months or so, right? And there's actually talk now about maybe we just, as a country, we just need a reset. Now, that's never been floated before. They're floating this trial balloon now. Maybe we just need a currency reset and just not start over, but, you know, like a chapter 7, you just wipe it all out and start over. Chapter 13, we'll just reorganize the debt, and either way, it's still a bankruptcy, right? But they are hesitant about doing that because that will automatically launch us down the same path Venezuela went on, you know, 10 years ago. And they're still, you know, it costs them truckloads of money just to go down and buy a loaf of bread because their currency is worthless. And that's, as a matter of fact, some places down in Venezuela, you have to actually have some gold nuggets, gold dust, whatever, to buy bread. I mean, I support some missionaries that work down there. I mean, that's, you know, talk about Nixon taking us off the gold standard. It could be we're getting ready to go back on a type of gold standard, even though it's a black market gold standard. I mean, it's terrible what the future's holding because of the financial chaos that's happening right now, not just with the United States, but around the world. You know, I mean, even Perry Stone issued a spiritual warning for America.
Yes. You know, for me, what happens sometimes is that as I'm looking at the circumstances, sometimes it takes a little bit of time for me to be able to see what's going on in the background. And because I see the people and I listen to the people, but now it's becoming obvious that it's evil speaking through the people. And it's becoming very, I think they've overplayed their hand, which I'm hoping is going to turn out into our benefit now that people really see all of that. But with Perry Stone really talking about the deceptive scales, oh, isn't that true? No. Amen. And how, and I think about the justice. I have a friend, his name is Jesse, and we talk about these scenarios, and we're trying to figure out how in the world did they wind up getting away with doing all this illegal stuff and never having any kind of response to it, any kind of penalty or punishment. No, we just scratch our heads and trying to figure this out. Well, I'm hoping that that's changing too, because otherwise we're going to really be plowing down a bad road. So, but he had a very good message that, you know, sin, crime and sin and the guilty, the insinuated is guilty and the guilty is, you know, not. It's just topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you figure, how can this be? You know, the Bible says when good is evil and evil is good. No. Well, we're seeing this today, and it's still hard to comprehend.
Yeah. Amen. It is. It's like, is this really happening in this country? You know, and the answer is, oh, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh.
And one topic we always seem to circle back to is the one of asteroids doing their super close flybys of the Earth. Often they zip past us with no warning whatsoever that it's a possible threat. I mean, recently I've seen a news report where NASA's launching, I think they launched it recently, where it's going to try and impact an asteroid on purpose, all in an attempt to try and change its trajectory so that they, just in case it's needed in the future, they know how it works. Have you seen anything like that?
Well, we know it's going to be needed sooner or later because then, what is that, Revelation? Is it in Revelation 8 where it talks about wormwood? No, that the asteroid impacts the world. And so because of the things, you and I have been talking about this for some time now, and usually they can plot the trajectory, but then out of nowhere comes this asteroid, and we saw one of them that was within 7,000 miles. Now, when they do the calculation in the miles, they're talking from the center of the Earth, right? So you have a distance to go till you get to the crust, and then you go to the seventh, where the asteroid is. This is very, very close. Now, what is the satellites orbiting at 21,000 miles?
Yeah,
right?
It was within the satellite belt. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is getting dangerously close. So I think this practice is probably good because they probably know something's going to happen because it's in the book. You read the book and we can see that Revelation is really becoming alive more in each and every day.
Yeah. Amen. But I wonder, we talked last year about this asteroid called Apophis, which was when it was first discovered, the claim was this one is on a trajectory to impact the Earth. But very quickly, within like a week or so, all NASA and all go, oh, no, don't worry. We recalculated it and it's going to miss us. It'll be close, but it'll miss us. We promise. Okay, what happens if you break your promise? I can just picture them behind closed doors. We cannot have a panic here. We got to come up with some plans to try and avert this, but continuous denial. Otherwise, we'll have a worldwide panic. So, do they know more than they're letting on, which is why they want to try this experiment at this point in time? Just don't smell good in the garden right now, I guess you could say.
That's why you got to become your own detective and dig into this. And sooner or later, you'll find a person that starts speaking the truth, right? Okay. So they started backing up on this. Now, the book that we're referring to was written by Tom Horn, and he had done a lot of research, and people had contacted him. I had read years ago.
He had a vision about it, too.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Years ago, I had read a book on Area 51, and it was like 400 pages, right? And what happened is that when this reporter started writing this, people started coming out of the woodwork to give her additional information to validate the things that she was suspicious about and turn it into fact. Well, this is what happened with Tom Horn, and he saw that that this was really true. And then, like they said, you said, they started backpedaling because they don't want people to be concerned, which I can understand because you want society to continue on. But we got a lot of chaos going on right now, so that's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, amen. So, and with Tom Horn, if I remember the book correctly, God showed him this vision back like 20 years ago or something like that. It was a long time ago. And he wrote about, and started talking about, this asteroid called Apophis, blah, blah, blah. We got showed him and all this. And then when NASA discovered this asteroid, what they call it? Apophis.
Yeah.
And he said nobody wanted to talk to him. He was, he was kicked out of churches when he was talking about it, all that far-fetched stuff. But as soon as NASA said, oh, there's this asteroid, it's going to be super close, it has a 30% probability of hitting the Earth or whatever it is, and it's called Apophis, his phone just lit up like, hey, we want you back on our program.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how accurate God is in foretelling things that'll happen and it's not because, the voodoo, woo, supernatural stuff. Because God's given us warning after warning after warning, get ready. These are the signs that we talked about for 2,000 years. It's coming, We've seen helicopters on Mars. We've seen scientists trying to play God with the blending of human and animal DNA called transhumanism. This stuff's real. It's actually happening.
That's the scary part, because it is taken for granted these days. That's another reason why we try to get people to see in reference to the Bible. I'm approaching seven decades now, you know, and when I look back, to me, having, I think I was about maybe 8 or 9 years old, we got our first TV with three stations. We thought that was huge.
Amen.
Right?
I remember that. Amen.
And at midnight, you know, what did they play?
They played the national anthem, and then it had a test pattern that came on. And that was it.
Yeah. Amen. That was it. It was broadcasting over for the day.
Yeah,
all right.
That's it.
So to the point now where we got 400 channels and nothing to watch, and and continuous information, and
think
how
about
that
is. People channels are, there's nothing on. And like I said, they got 400 channels.
Yeah. Nothing significant to watch. Exactly. No. And that is part of the thing, because we're deluged. We're deluged with information. We're overstimulated with information. I had in the elevator trade, we have new electronic equipment. We call it Elevonic series and microprocessors. And so I had a piece of equipment that was broken down, and I had never worked on it before. And so I got frustrated, and I called the boss, and he said, "Well, Tom, the information you're looking for is in the book." I said, "But yeah, Mike," I said, "the book is 3 inches thick. Can you help me a little bit here?" And that's the thing. We have so much information. I believe sometimes it's more than the human mind can handle.
Yeah.
It's like constant overload. No, but we take it for granted. And then we got this stuff that is going on that is so futuristic, that it sometimes gets a little scary. And so what are we going to be able to need? We're going to need something to help us compute this. Of course, we got smartphones, right? Now with 5G and all this other stuff. So we take it for granted to where people don't even see it as an end time sign, a huge end time sign.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. And then, you know, we've also talked this year about, you know, plagues and increase in earthquakes, the increase in volcanic activity, increase in droughts, locust plagues. I mean, actual locust plagues, bird flu, COVID variants. All of these things have increased in activity this year. And, you know, I mean, these are all end time scenarios that you really don't hear much on the news about. I mean, they'll isolate all these fires in California. Oh, this earthquake over in, you know, the Middle East. Oh, this increase in volcanic activity out on these islands out in the Pacific. Oh, the droughts. Yeah, they're terrible. Oh, the floods. Yes, they're terrible. But too bad for those people down there. Too bad for those people. But when you look at the whole, all this is increasing. The activity level is increasing. It used to be isolated incidents. Oh, that's so terrible. If they played this every night on the news, okay, let's talk about the droughts here, 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 and here, and the floods here, 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 and here, and the activity here, here, and here. People will say, whoa, what's going on? They'd actually start asking those questions, but
yeah,
they don't cover it like that.
No, I think it would probably wake more people up. I do have a person in my life that just maybe about 6 months ago had the Holy Spirit had gotten a hold of them and opened up their eyes to where we are. And what usually happens is that people start rushing in to fill the void in preparation and sometimes go overboard. That's the way I was with me. And this person is like trying to do damage control or preventative damage control and getting prepared. And that is part of the good part about waking people up into this. And so, but yes, it's a continuous thing. The earthquakes, the volcanoes. Sometimes I think that we've had enough volcanoes go off that we're going to have cooling in the atmosphere to bring colder winters because of all the stuff that they emit. And then we had that right in our own backyard, so to speak, in St. Vincent, where that volcano erupted. No, and now they have the ongoing one with the Canary Islands. And Iceland, again, is starting to have very, very large amount of earthquakes. And they're anticipating a reemergence of their volcano. Yeah. So it's like all these signs are there. But I'll tell you what, until it interacts with our own personal life, which is the majority of society right now, we don't feel it. And when we don't feel it, we don't get moved necessarily.
That's right. Amen. Yeah. And you know, I mean, we've talked before about how the wells and the lakes, the water resources out in California, the lakes are at all-time lows. You know, I mean, it's so bad. The mayor of Atlanta was talking about shutting the entire city down, telling everybody move because there's no more water in Atlanta. But then they got that rain here, you know, a few months back that is allowing them to stay at home for right now. You know, I mean, how bad is that when a major metropolitan city is saying, hey, you know, we might have to pack everybody up and ship you out and just shut the city down.
I mean, that's pretty serious. Yeah. Now, I've been watching the stuff out west, like you were talking about, Lake Orville in northern, I think it's in northern California, was at critical points where they're going to have to just not let any water go through the dam in order to keep the reserves, the emergency reserves up. But then we just talked about the cyclone bomb that took place, and the lake rose 4 feet because of that. And then they had another storm and it rose. Problem is that it is moving in the right direction, which praise God, right? Yeah. It gives them a little bit more leeway. Right? But as I was thinking about this, you know, Americans like the idea of having a silver bullet where we get ourselves out of these problems. But in Lake Mead and Lake Powell, no, there's no silver bullet here. It took 50 years to fill up Lake Mead, and it took 30 years to fill up Lake Powell. And it comes from the Colorado, and the Colorado comes from the snow. And last year in Durango, Texas, I had a person who lived there said they only got 3 inches of snow. Yeah. So how do you do this? You see, that's where prayer comes in, right? Yeah. Praying that God would send the rain, send the snow. Now, they did have a big snow in the South Dakota area early already. You know, I was going to go in that direction, and thank God that I didn't, because I probably would have gotten stuck in the snow. You know, they shut stuff down out there.
Amen.
No, it's like in Chicago. All right. But it was on the wrong side of the drainage to where it didn't go into the Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's so true. You know, and then on top of all these natural disasters, now here in the United States, we're looking at hyperinflation, you know, supply shortages. We talked about that. And even credit freezes. I mean, did you see that banks are tightening credit? You know, even the Fed has been trying to reassure us, inflation's all under control. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But these banks don't believe them. They're starting to limit how much credit they're issuing. They're tightening access to the credit. Have you seen that?
That was Wells Fargo. Yeah. They have these credit lines that they use for expanding, you know, businesses or starting and launching or maybe a home remodeling. Well, they've seen the handwriting on the wall. And so therefore, how do you give out money or lend out money that is going to be polluted and discounted through inflation? They're going to get cheap dollars back. They're giving out good dollars, but they're going to get cheap dollars, which means they're going to have lesser value. And they don't want to take the hit. So they stop doing those type of loans. And I was watching a podcaster. His name is Jeremiah Babe. I like to watch him. He's out in California. He said that he went up to an ATM machine, and there was a guy in front of him that got upset and threw his paper on the ground and walked away. So, you know, he had to get curious. And here the paper showed that he only wanted $20 from his account and was denied. Now, you don't know what that happened, but when you take a look at the problems that they had in Greece just a few years ago, where they limited the amount of money that you could get out of the ATM. Now, that's pretty scary. I could see that coming, and it might be coming pretty soon.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, when they had, I want to say it was last year during a shutdown, the banks were shut down, you know, and I remember, well, that's okay. We go to the ATM, get money out. The ATM was shut down because everyone had gone and taken the money out of the ATM, and nobody can come to work to restock it. You know, I mean, there you go. I mean, the machine was working. It was out of money, you know, and I mean, they can, if, let's just use a scenario of, say a huge sunspot hits us and it knocks out the electric grid. Well, there goes the ATMs. There's no credit card machines, you know, nothing's working, you know. Well, all my money's in the bank. I got money in the bank. Bank can't help you, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because there is no money. I mean, we look at physical dollars and stuff. The bank only has to keep like 10% of all their reserves in the bank. You know, they could have, you know, $10 million, $100 million on the ledger, but they only have so much cash inside the bank. Everything else is just zeros and ones on a computer somewhere. You know, if I sent money to you, I can do it right here. Boom, you get it immediately. It's not really I'm handing you money or anything like that. It's just I'm telling the computer at the bank to take it from my ledger and send it over to your ledger, you know? And if the government flips the switch and says banks are shut down right now, there is no zeros and ones to transfer. That's, you know, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start this new currency. And everybody's going to be required to have this currency. And gee, where did we hear something like that before? You know, you won't be able to buy or sell without, you know, I mean,
there. Yeah, moving in that direction. Amen. That makes it even scarier. I think it was a YouTube that was talked that we talked about in that took place in Colorado, I think, where the guy is standing in the grocery line and the guy in front of him needed to pay. And he pulled up his shirt sleeve and the person scanned his shirt sleeve. Of course, you couldn't see anything on there. And so the guy walked up and he asked the cashier, what just happened here? You see that there is an invisible barcode connected to his bank that he had tattooed on his arm. And all he had to do is just let him scan it. And he had paid for it that way. Now, when I was working downtown Chicago for that 3 years, I was astounded with the young people. Now, I say any young people, anybody under 35 to me was young people, you know, and how none of them were using cash. They were all using their credit card. And I'm thinking, wow, this is voluntarily going in a direction of a cashless society. So I had watched, I had gone through the Dave Ramsey's program probably about 15 years ago. And one of the things that he says to be prepared for is to have a small amount of cash prepared for times of emergency. No, you don't know what's going to happen. But I think that's solid advice in our day.
Yeah, amen, amen. And what we've been leading to, I mean, we one time a few weeks back, we even covered the supply shortages, you know, those ships backed up at the ports and you know, how our government's saying, oh, yeah, there's no problem with the economy because people have money. That's why they're going out spending it. And that's why the shelves are bare. You know, they don't want to admit that, you know, there's nothing coming in and everything going out. You know, that's the reason the shelves are bare. But, you know, they've got to turn their spin on it. But all of this leads basically to proof that America has lost its quote unquote hedge of protection. And I think the first indication, which I call a warning shot at the time, was 9/11. I mean, have you sensed that we as a nation have lost our hedge of protection?
Well, I was concerned when I saw that had happened. I knew that something was going on. And I think he would even mention it in a way that I really was able to receive. He said momentarily we had lost our hedge of protection on 9/11. And I thought, oh, that's true, because things were going on. But when I heard that they were going to borrow $40 billion to rebuild, I thought to myself, oh, this is putting us in serious debt. This is not good because we're not going to be the leader. We're going to be the debtor. And the debtor nations usually have a lot more problems and fingers in the control and all kinds of people pulling strings and stuff when you're the debtor nation. And I thought, oh, this is not good. But that started us down a bad path.
Yeah, amen. It sure did. And folks, these are just some of the things that had happened in 2021. We haven't covered all of them. I mean, you want to go back and just listen to all our, where Tom and I had all our interviews this past year, because we cover stuff in every single one. But Tom just basically gave you a recap of some of the major things we discussed over the last year. Now, they sounded concerning when we actually talked about them on each podcast, but when you put them all together like we just did and realize all these things are just the tip of the spear, so to speak, of what really went on in 2021, It can't but help you to understand that these things are all discussed in some form or fashion, and what the Bible says will take place in the last days. Yes, they've all been happening since the Garden of Eden, but never have they been happening all at once. I've come to call it a convergence of events. And Tom, as we close this episode out, I want you to pray us out. Be sure to give us an invitation to someone who wants to end this year in a true victorious status, right? And become a child of God, but pray us out, you know, pray out the program and pray out the year 2021. And let me stop Tom for a minute. Tom is coming back tomorrow, January 1st, 2022, to discuss some things that are being set up to happen in the coming year. Praise God. So praise God. How can you say all these bad things are good for us, Pastor Bob? Because Jesus told us this is what life would be like just before his return. That's exciting. This is what believers have been praying for 2,000 years, and they're starting to come to pass. Praise God. Tom, go ahead and pray us out, please.
Well, for anybody who does not know Jesus and would like to have a relationship with him, pray with me. Amen. Dear Father God, I thank you for your son, Jesus, and the work he did on the cross. By the shedding of his blood, he paid the price for all of mankind's sin. I want to tell you, Father, I am a sinner. I am sorry for the pain my sins have caused you, Jesus, and you, Father God. Please forgive me. Now I invite you to come into my heart and into my life, and I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And let's pray out 2021 and just getting ready to go into 2022.
Dear Father God, I ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit and circumnavigate the globe, and that you would release him to bring mass salvations throughout the world.
Yes, Jesus.
I ask, Father, that you would have mercy upon the United States for the things that we have done that has been offensive and hurtful to you, because, Father, they're too numerous to be able to speak. We need your mercy. I think about how Moses pleaded with you when you were so upset with the Israelis in the desert, mm-hmm. that you wanted to wipe them out, but he, one person, prayed, and you stepped back and you said, okay. Well, Father, you have many people praying in the world and in the United States. We ask that you would be moved by those prayers to extend us mercy, and if possible, Lord, to extend us more time to push back the convergence, maybe to slow it down for a season, so that we would have more time to reach people. That's the goal, Lord. We want them to get connected to Jesus Christ. We want them filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can work in their lives according to their needs for them and their families and all that they love.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight, New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2021. As a famous news broadcaster that Tom and I are familiar with way back when, you say, and that's the way it is. December 31st, 2021. Yeah, so, and you know who I'm talking about. Walter Cronkite. Amen. So, Tom, I'm looking forward to tomorrow when we're going to be talking about what the future holds in 2022. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.